you don't sleep running in 4 hours and wakes up running 2 hours and 44. You have to be patient. You have to respect your body. You have to respect your work. It's not just about running. Running, it's not my life. So I have to conciliate everything to reach this. And I think the main problem today, it's because people want to reach this, like this time or these goals in a short period of time. And your body can't do this. Your brain can't do this. You can't be anxious. You have to respect your body, your time. You can't compare yourself to the others. So you have to respect and keep pushing hard. And the results are always coming.
Welcome, Endurance Enthusiasts. I'm your host, Bruna.
And I'm your host, Fabi. You're tuning into Human Endurance, the podcast where we aim to inspire you with stories of achievement, motivation, and self-fulfillment.
We'll connect you with humans pushing boundaries, breaking barriers, and discovering the joy of endurance sports.
Join us on this journey of self-reflection and personal growth. Let's go the distance together.
Today, we have a very special guest with us, Pedro, mostly known as Pinguim. He is 37 years old. He's from Belo Horizonte, Brazil, which is also my hometown. He's a lawyer, and he has completed 23 marathons in the last 13 years. He went from finishing in 4 hours and 6 minutes in Berlin, 2011, which was his first marathon, to achieving his best time as 2 hours 44 in Porto Alegre, in Brazil, in 2022, which is an insane improvement. Welcome, Pinguim. So we first want to get into your motivation behind running. So tell us, how did you get into it, right, in 2011 before Berlin?
First of all, I would like to thank you again for the invitation and say that I'm a great admirer of what you both do. Bruna, I know for 10 years, and Fabi, now that it's going to her first 7.3, Fabi?
No, a first full one. Yeah.
Full one. Yeah. And it's insane for me to do this. You asked about my motivation before the marathon. I played tennis since I was a kid. And then running for me, it was like a warming up exercise for tennis. But I discovered that running transports me to another level, a mental level, where I can find all the answers for everything. So for me, running is more than an exercise for my body. It's more like a therapy. And then I discovered the more that I run, more I get relaxed, more I solve my problems. And that's when I went to the endurance direction. I was running like 1 hour, 2 hours, and I can think about everything and nothing at the same time. It's the magic of the endurance. I think it was when I discovered my passion for endurance and get the way to the marathon, where I can have also endurance and intensity.
How was that in 2011 when you decided to sign up for Berlin Marathon? Because it's also quite far from Brazil and very special marathon.
Yeah. I was living abroad. I was living in Valencia, Spain in 2010. Then I made a Euro trip in May and visited a lot of countries in East Europe. And Berlin was the first city I went. And I got in love with the city, with the history, with the flat course and the weather. Decided to... Yeah, because we are used to run here in Brazil. It's very hot, as you know. And when I went to Berlin, I thought it was the perfect place to run a marathon because I was reading a lot about all the conditions for a perfect race. And Berlin was the perfect place. Flat course, cold weather, cloudy day, almost all the editions. So I decided to run in Berlin. And then I went back to Brazil. I talked to my coach here and signed up for the marathon in the next year, in 2011. That time, I didn't have any idea of run more than 21 kilometers. It was pretty tough because I always had a lot of endurance. I don't know, maybe because of tennis, because we have to stay a long period training and playing, or maybe it's just genetic. I'm made for endurance. I don't know.
Yeah, probably a bit of both.
Yeah, but it was tough in the beginning because I had a lot of friends that were running like 2-3 marathons before me, and they know what it is, a long run, how to keep the pace. I didn't have the control to keep a pace for more than 21 kilometers, 30 kilometers.
Yeah, it's super difficult. How did you ramp up to the first marathon? Did you do a few 5K races and then 10K races, half marathons?
Yeah. Yeah, my first race was a 10K race. I finished it in 1 hour, my first 10K.
How fast do you run a 10K now?
35 minutes.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. It was in 2007, maybe. And after I went to the 21K, it was like very natural for me because I love distance. I loved running for a long time, but I didn't have this intensity, this speed I have now.
I see. I think what you experience is super common, right? There is no way that somebody will start running a marathon and already be fast at it. You first start by, okay, I need to first try to run that distance. And then with the years, you can accumulate some training and do some intensity and get faster.
I think the key, you have to know your body before a marathon. Mm-hmm. And to know your body, you have to run all the distance. You have to run 5K, 10K, a lot of 21K, because mm-hmm. your body reacts very different to all this distance. If someone gets to a marathon, like the first race, the chance of fail is very, very, very big, because no one knows the body for a 42K. Also for us, I have 23 marathons. Every marathon, it's difficult to predict what is going to happen, because the weather, what did you eat the week before? You are in another country, sleeping in another bed, a lot of variables.
So you did the marathon in Berlin, and how was the feeling afterwards? Were you immediately like, oh my God, I'm hooked?
I was feeling like I was Superman. It's the best feeling ever. I think I will never feel the same thing again. Like a lot of flashbacks got in my mind, because you have to train like 12 weeks for the marathon. So it's like a movie, like a flashback. In 10 seconds, you think everything you passed the last 12 weeks. But the first one, it's very special. You think, oh, I ran 42K. Yeah. I was feeling like a superhero for 2 minutes. And after, I started to feel a lot of pain in all my body. And I realized I was a human. Yeah.
Were you able to walk the next day?
No, I was like... 10 days, I made a Euro trip after. I went to Oktoberfest, I went to another country.
Nice choice.
And I was, and I was feeling a lot of pain and the whole body.
Yeah, your body is like, wow, what was that?
Yeah, what did it do to me? It's you're insane, yeah.
How is your recovery like now? Like, how do you feel after a marathon these days? Do you also have a lot of pain?
No, not now. Just if I was last year, I ran Boston again. I ran Boston for 3 times. And awesome. I ran Chicago the end of the year. And I was injured on both marathons. I had a hairline fracture. Mm-hmm. It's like a stress fracture. So after the both races, I was feeling a little bit of pain in another parts of my body, because I think I was like trying to relieve the out the chart of the left leg to other parts of the body.
Compensate, yeah.
So, yeah, compensate, yeah. But when I finished like my personal best, the next day was feeling very, very, very good. So nowadays, my recovery is like a speedy recovery.
It's super impressive to see how you've been doing marathons now for 13 years straight. Without a big break.
I had a big break in 2021. I had a hip injury and I stopped for, I think, 95 days. I think it's the biggest break I had in my running career, I can, can say.
But 95 days is nothing. Like in the big scheme of things, of course, for performance training.
But for us, like 1 week, it's like eternal. Yeah, we are used to train every day, to feel the sport every day. I play tennis since I was a kid. So it's like drink water, sleep for me. Practice sport is part of my day.
Yeah, it's true. I am injured right now. Actually, through an accident that I had, like I fell on the stairs of my building and I haven't been able to run for a month now with a lot of pain, even walking, it's super weird. Need to get an MRI. And yes, it feels like an eternity. So I take back the 95 days. I would love to dive a little bit into your training. I think that's one of the most interesting things from you since you're training for high performance. First of all, do you have a coach?
Yeah, I have a coach. His name is Heleno Fortes. He's from Brazil. He's a great coach and also a great runner. He has 2 hours and 33 minutes in Chicago.
Impressive.
So he's a, he uses like the, do you know Jack Daniels?
The drink?
I just know the liquor.
No. No, it's like a famous coach from US, and my coach uses his method. So since I started to use this method, I changed my kind of think about running. It's very different. I run like 6-7 times per week. Just comparing, when I ran my first marathon, I was running like 60K at the peak of the marathon cycle. But now I run about 110K every week. It's very different. I increased the volume of my running and also the intensity.
Can you give an overview over this Jack Daniels method?
I don't know the method you are used to, but Jack Daniels use like, do you know threshold running? Yeah. Basically, the threshold is when you run about 1 hour.
Yeah.
It's not an easy run, but it's not a VO2 max running. It's like a steady pace, but
steady state.
It's like, it's like 83-88% of the VO2 max.
Just to explain to our listeners, VO2 max is usually an all-out effort to like maximum 8 minutes, right? And so you can think of a threshold as being, well, significantly longer than that. So it's really a marker that it's very common in training for endurance, because VO2 max obviously is not going to be a great predictor for a marathon if you're running a race that is close to 3 hours. So you need something longer. Cool. So it's based on threshold. And then what else? Tell us more.
Interval trainings. Like my routine, on Monday, Wednesday, and on Friday, I used to run like easy runs, like 10 to 14K. And for me, easy run, it's really an easy run. It's not running at 4 minutes and 30 seconds. It's like running in 5 minutes, 5 minutes 15, because, you know, we are working the whole day. So your body needs to rest after all of this. So if every day I set a pace to run, it's not connected to my recovery.
To give perspective, what is your threshold pace?
Threshold pace is like 3 minutes and 35.
Yeah, so your easy run is really easy. Yeah.
Nowadays, everybody likes to post on Instagram, like easy running, like 4 minutes and 30 seconds. It's not an easy run.
Yeah.
Your body can't recover at this speed.
I had this in the beginning. I was like, I always want to go as hard as I can. I got injured. Yeah. Now I run often 5:40 pace for my easy runs. I had to learn and also appreciate those runs for my body, because it's you're not pushing too much.
Always when I do a really easy run, the next training session, like an interval or a threshold, I'm feeling like a beast. So you have to train hard when it's like a threshold, an interval, marathon pace running. But you really have to go easy when you have to do easy runs. Your body needs to recover. We feel like a superhero, like a machine, but we are not. And we just learn when we get injured.
So you do three easy runs per week?
Yeah, per week. Yeah, like 3 easy runs, 10 to 14. 14K, a threshold session on Tuesday.
For how long?
Like 12 to 16K.
Wow. Okay. And you keep your threshold pace for that long.
Yeah. And just a reminder here, every training session, I warm up for 3K. Every training session. I start like 5:30. I really need to warm up my body. I don't like to stretch, maybe some mobility exercises, but I think the best way to warm up is running very slow and increasing the pace every K. So I start like 5:30, then I run one more K in 4 minutes and 50 seconds. And after 4 minutes and 30 seconds pace, then I start the main training session. Because if you go to push to the limit for 16K without warming up, for me, it's impossible.
That makes sense. And I assume the last training session of your week is the long run, right?
Yeah, the last one or the first one, maybe. Because on Sunday, I always do the recovery run. It's like 10K, 10 to 12K, just to lose my legs after the long run on Saturday.
Are your long runs structured? Do you do intervals during your long run? Like, do you do set paces within your long run, or is it also just an easy
sometimes
run?
When I'm on a marathon cycle, we usually start like 24K in the beginning, like a steady pace. So we're going like 24K, 4 minutes and 30 seconds, the whole training session. When we are close to the marathon, like 2 months before, 3 months before, we start to do a marathon pace. So we run 16K, like a steady pace, and the last 80K, we usually go to race pace.
Race pace, yeah. Yeah. Because it's like the difference between the base phase and the build phase.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Because when you are like doing the bases, maybe you have to do a fartlek, changing the elevation. And usually when you go to the main phase, the marathon phase, you have to get your body used to the race pace.
Nice. You also just mentioned the fartlek session. Can you explain to the listeners who don't know what it is, how this session looks like?
The fartlek session is like when you use a lot of paces. So you get like easy pace, then you push hard, maybe for a distance, maybe for time. So you run like 2K at easy pace, and you run 500 meters at the hard pace. Then you get back to easy pace. You are trying to get your body used to a lot of different paces.
Yeah, different stimulus. Do you have a favorite training session? Like, do you have one of these workouts?
Run.
The long run? Okay.
Long run, yeah, yeah. It's my favorite training session of the week. I wait the whole week for the long run.
Why is it your favorite?
I usually run with a lot of friends on Saturday morning. It's when I think about everything and nothing at the same time. I don't have to work after. It's my day. It's my time at the week. And it looks like a marathon. And I love marathons. So running for a long time with a lot of people around me, feeling like I'm running a race.
Sharing it with friends is always nice. And you talk a bit, you focus.
I have another question about training, which is related to the tapering phase of your cycle, which for the listeners that don't know, tapering is the part of your training cycle when you start getting very close to the race. So it depends on the race, but let's say 2 weeks before your race, you start tapering, right? And you try to lower your volume so that your body can then recover and get more rested for the race. What does that look like for you? Because you mentioned you run around 100K a week on average. And so what does it look like the 2 weeks leading up to the race?
The volume get lower. It's like we run like maybe 85K, 80K. We keep the intensity on threshold sessions and interval sessions like VO2 sessions. It's a good phase for the psychological because at the same time, when you rest, you're feeling stronger. And it's the right time because at the peak of the cycle, you are like, no, how can I run a marathon in 2 weeks at this pace? So the tapering, it's like for the body, for body recovery. And for psychological as well, for me, you get more confident to the race day. You prepare your mind to the race day because you have to get a strong mind to perform on a marathon.
For me, tapering sometimes, I'm getting also nervous in the sense of, oh, I'm losing fitness. In that way, it's a bit of a a challenge mentally because you're not moving, and then you really feel, oh, what am I doing now? It's stressful for me because I feel like I'm losing fitness.
At the beginning for me as well, I was thinking about losing fitness, but no, you get stronger. The tapering, it's a necessary phase for the race day. You can't run the whole time, the whole cycle. You can't put intensity all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree with me, but I think you just get injured when you are at the peak of your performance. You're feeling like a superhero. And the tapering is when you low your body, low your mind, put your, what did you do the last 10 weeks and think about it. I can't waste all this time if I keep running hard until the marathon.
Yeah, I personally love tapering.
Yeah.
I'm never stressed. I always feel like, okay, if I made it to tapering, I've successfully not get injured. And I'm getting ready for race day, and I always feel extra excited. Like, okay, the hard part is kind of behind me, and now I can just relax, rest, and focus on the race. And I think for me, the race day is the most exciting, and I love the feeling of feeling extremely rested when I step on the starting line. And I just, most of the time, besides times that I've been slightly injured at the starting line, I've had great performances, like when my training cycle went well, and I think that feeling is like, oh, it's just, nobody can take that away from you.
Yeah, I'll try to appreciate it more in the future.
But I
agree with you, Bingbing, because you said when you're at the peak, you're getting injured because you feel like a superhero. And I had this last year because I was training for the marathon. I was just like, oh, I can do more, more, more. Suddenly I had pain in my leg, and then it went downhill. So that was a good transition now from injury to something that can prevent injury, like strength training. I mean, you're not like a typical marathon runner because you're also quite strong. So I assume you do a lot of strength training as well to support your running.
I think I look like a bodybuilder and not a runner, but I do a lot of strength training. I usually do strength training since I was like 16 years old. And now I do more because after all the danger, I need to be very strong. I can't be like heavy, but you have to be strong. And you can build muscles without being heavy. It's strange, but you have to be the same time. I'm like a light runner, but a strong runner. And I do strength sessions like 5 times every week.
What are they like? And do you do a lot of reps and low weight?
Depends. When I'm doing the build phase, like a basis, I do like 6-8 reps with a lot of weight. And when I'm at the marathon cycle, I change to a lot of reps without weight. Lower weight.
Okay.
Yeah, compared to the basis. Just to maintain, just to keep the strength. And I don't do a lot of exercises for my legs, for example, because we're running, we are using our legs every time. So you have to balance the running sessions with the strength training.
So what do you normally train? More like upper body and the glutes?
No, the core part, like the abs, the glutes. It's like a belt for us. You have to keep this belt strong.
When you run, do you consciously focus on your form, on your running form, or is it something that now naturally happened?
No, now it's natural. It's like automatic for me. After a lot of years running, I have my pattern. I don't have the great posture running like all the athletes, but you can't compare yourself. You can't change your running style because everybody is unique. Everyone have the own running style.
I'm curious if you follow a strict diet, or how do you think about fueling in general?
I don't have a strict diet. I have a balanced diet, but I like to eat my chocolate, to drink my Coke. I don't drink alcohol.
At all?
At all. But I have a balanced diet. I eat carbs. It's my basis for every endurance running. You have to eat a lot of carbs, not just to have energy for the training session, but also to recover your body. I eat rice, pasta, a lot of fruits. I also eat meat. I don't have any diet secret for running. Just eat what my body needs.
Do you do most of your trainings in the morning?
Yeah.
Do you like to eat before?
All my training session? Yeah, yeah. I have to eat before. I eat a banana with peanut butter and a glass of grape juice every training session. And when I do the long run on Saturday, I usually eat two slices of bread with cheese and a banana and peanut butter and a glass of grape juice. Sometimes I also use gels during the week, like on threshold sessions when I'm running like 16K, 14K. After 40 minutes, 45 minutes, I take a gel on threshold sessions. And when I'm running the marathon, I get gels every 6K. I run 6K, one gel, more 6K, one gel every marathon. But I train
short,
this.
That's right? Because you must be running 6K in like 25 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. But I discovered it's the best. I perform much better when I take the gels every 6K. It's amazing.
For triathlon, I really feel my body needs so much calories. So I also do eat a lot of pasta, and I also try to eat not only breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but also in between I need to eat because I'm constantly burning. Also during the long runs, my coach just told me that it's super important to take gels for recovery as well later on, because your body recovers faster from the session if you have a gel in the session.
Which gel is your favorite? Still Goose?
Goo, yeah. Yeah, it's like a dessert for me. I've tried the mountain gels, but we don't have here in Brazil. But I still like the goo.
They're too sweet for me.
I like them too, but I've had a few races, especially the ones that you're really struggling a little bit more than the others, that the taste almost, I couldn't handle it at the end, you know. It was like, I've had too much chocolate at this point.
And you need them with water as well versus the Morton. They're more liquid.
Yeah, but every gel I take with water.
Okay.
I drink water every water point in a marathon. You have to drink water always. You don't have to drink the whole glass of water, but you have to sip something.
Yeah, I also read that even the feeling of having water in your mouth, even if you don't drink it, already tells your body you get water. So it's already a psychological thing as well. Do you ever have like stomach issues in training or during races? Have you ever had that, or are you lucky to not have that? Because, for example, for me, sometimes I really need to be careful what I eat in the morning before I run.
Stomach issues? No.
Never.
Never.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. But the long run for me, it's like a lab. I try everything in the long runs. The food I will eat before the marathon, I did all the time, is to eat here in Brazil a food I can find everywhere. So if I go to Japan, I can eat the same thing. If I go to London, I can eat the same thing. So for me, pasta, it's like a universal food you can find everywhere, and also bread, because when I went to Latvia in 2014 to run a marathon there, I had a diet and I need to eat, I don't know the name in English, but in Brazil it's tapioca. Then I went to Latvia and I don't have tapioca to eat before the marathon. So I started to eat bread, because the only thing I can find everywhere is before the marathon, it's bread. Even bananas, it's hard to find when you are traveling.
And what about carb loading? Do you do just the day before or the whole week?
From Wednesday night till the race, always on Sunday morning, I start the carb load. But it's not an insane carb load. I just eat a little bit more of carbs the whole day. Usually one day before the marathon, I'm hydrating more. Two Gatorades, one in the morning, one at night. Since Porto Alegre, in 2022, I did this and it worked. So for me, it's like a ritual now.
Porto Alegre was your best time, right?
Yeah, 2 hours and 44 minutes.
A little bit of a superstition then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can understand that. So for the listeners that don't know, I also grew up playing a ton of tennis, and for some reason, tennis players are always about superstitions. Like if you do something that works before a match, you always end up copying it. And then if one day it doesn't work again, you're like, okay, screw that. I'm going to stop with this part. So maybe it comes from the tennis vibes. I don't know where we get that from. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Now we would love to dive more into specific races that you've done. We talked already a bit about Berlin. How much you improved is so impressive, from 4 hours to 2:44. How do you think you got to improve so much over those years?
Besides Jack Daniels, the protocol.
I'm running for since 2007. So it's like 15 years of running. It's not from yesterday. So it's I built this performance. People just see the 2 hours and 44, but they didn't see what I did before. So you have to construct. Yeah, you can't go right to the 2 hours and 44 minutes. And I think for me, I improved my kind of training. I was in a running club that was basically like a run for fun. They didn't care about pace, time, how many marathons did you do, just for fun. And I found a lot of good friends that like performance. It helps a lot, because when you're running with people with the same goals, you grow together. So I think the mainly reason I set this time, 2 hours and 4:44, it was improving the running methods, like Jack Daniels, running with good friends with the same goals, the same mentality, and just working hard. You don't sleep running in 4 hours and wakes up running 2 hours and 44. You have to be patient. You have to respect your body. You have to respect your work. It's not just about running. Running, it's not my life. So I have to conciliate everything to reach this. And I think the main problem today is because people want to reach this, like this time or this goals in a short period of time. And your body can't do this. Your brain can't do this.
It takes a long time, like many years of determination, working hard, learning about yourself, figuring out your limits, going back to the drawing board, a few injuries, right?
You can't be anxious. You have to respect your body, your time. You can't compare yourself to the others. So you have to respect and keep pushing hard, and the results are always coming.
And when you race, what kind of race strategies do you have going into a race? I assume you always change depending on how your training went and so on. Can you elaborate a bit on race strategies?
Yeah, nowadays I have like a steady pace. I try to start at the same pace I want to do the whole race. Maybe 4 seconds slower just to warm up my body. But nowadays my strategy is always to start the marathon at the same pace I want to finish.
Did you explore with a few different ways before and you found that this is the best one for you?
Yeah, I started trying like starting at a lower pace and trying to do negative splits. But when you're running without effort, it's okay. You can start at like 4 minutes and 30 seconds and finish the race running at 4 minutes. But when you're running almost at your limit, it's impossible to make negative splits. When you see like Kipchoge running, they are running at steady pace. It's kind of impossible to make big negative splits. Maybe 20 seconds, 15 seconds, but 3 minutes of negative splits, it's impossible.
Yeah, I think this also comes with experience, that you can actually, you know, hold the same pace, because it's hard to every K have the same pace.
Yeah, but I think it's where the threshold training works, because when you're running like 1 hour at a high intensity, you also train your mind to keep going at a high effort. So when you keep a high pace at the marathon, your body responds much better than always changing the pace, for me, it works really well.
I remember you telling me once, Penguin, what you did on your watch face during the races in terms of like what fields do you show to yourself on your watch? Can you tell the listeners what is your strategy for race day? Because I think it's super smart.
Tennis players, we play point by point. You don't think much further of the match. So I do the same strategy for running. My watch face, it's basically the K pace. I don't know how much I have ran before. It's just the average pace of the marathon and the kilometer pace. I just run every kilometer one by one. It's a way to keep concentrate. I construct the marathon K by K.
So you only have the average pace you've been holding for the whole race and the pace that you have on average for that specific lap, right? The 1K. You can see if you've been slowing down, it will show a little bit on the average marathon pace, right? And then you can do the math in your head and figure out, okay, I need to be speeding up or it actually, I have a little bit of wiggle room.
And I also put the distance of the lap.
Mm-hmm.
So if my average pace is decreasing, I think, oh, I have 300 meters more to
make it
have to get speedy up.
Super smart. During training, is it the same?
The same. Yeah, the same. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you really just go K by K every training session?
K by K. Yeah, it's like that. It's point by point.
That's a very unique strategy. I haven't heard that from anybody, K by K. I know people split it up in shorter chunks, but K by K, it's the first time that I hear that.
So it's smart. I tried to think K by K, but I don't have my watch face like that. Maybe next time I'll try it.
That's definitely something to think about. When I do long runs, I often split it in different chunks as well. It feels different, the run. If you know, I'm going to run out 2.5 hours, it's very different than if you split it up in three parts.
Three is a common one, for sure. Now, Penguin, you've done 23 marathons. What was your most memorable race and why?
Boston 2018. It's the most remarkable race for me because it was my second Boston Marathon. I ran the first one in 2016. I wasn't so prepared for Boston because to run Boston well, you have to run Boston once. It's very unique course. The beginning is like a downhill. You downhill like for 21K, then it becomes very hilly at Newton City. It's impossible to simulate this kind of race in any other course. I can't make a downhill for 21K, then start get hilly after this. It's very different for your legs. But it was a very unique edition because it was like -5 degrees. And I don't know if you remember, but a Japanese, an amateur runner, won the marathon.
An amateur?
Kawaguchi. Yeah, yeah. Because all the elite athletes broke because of the weather. It was very cold, very rainy. The most remarkable race for me because I ran in 2 hours, 53 minutes. But for me, it was my personal best because all of the conditions, it was like a war field. 2,000 cases of hypothermia. It's a lot for a race. You have 25,000 runners. And when you think 2,000 of the runners didn't finish the race because of hypothermia, it's very hard. It was very hard.
Did you know beforehand the weather conditions or was that a surprise?
No, it was a surprise for everyone. One day before, the forecast was like, a cold day without the rain, but in the morning, it was like very cold and rainy.
And how do you think that you were able to manage the situation so well? Like, what was crossing your mind during the race?
I trained very hard here in Brazil because, as I said before, to run Boston well, you have to run Boston before. So I know everything I was going to see at the course. And I changed all my training here in Brazil. Started running a lot of hilly places. I was very, very prepared. So when I saw the cold, the rain, it was different for me because it's impossible to have -5 here in Brazil. But I was very confident for the race.
You had the confidence in knowing that you can you can finish well.
I think every runner needs to be very confident if you train well. Because when you face conditions like this, like I faced in Boston, you have to to keep going, because it's hard for everyone. It's not hard for just for you. Every single runner that is running the marathon, it's also hard for them.
For sure, for sure. And also for the listeners, because Boston is a special marathon, because you also have to qualify with a time.
Yeah.
What is the time for men to qualify for the Boston Marathon?
My age group, yeah, it's like 3 hours. I need to run below 3 hours.
I'm also curious to know, Penguin, on the other side of things. So you talked about now a very memorable race where everything went right. Have you ever had a race where this didn't happen? You trained hard and you went to the starting line feeling confident and things just didn't work out?
I think I never had this kind of experience of get frustrated in a race. I love to race. I love to compete. So when I go to the start line, everything changes. If I'm not feeling good, if I have an injury, it just disappear. But I never get frustrated if I don't get my goal. Let's explain. If my goal is to run in 2 hours and 50 minutes, if I finish the race in 3 hours, it's okay for me. It's not frustrated. It was my best at that day. You have to be good when you are not performing the best.
I think that's a very good mentality. We can definitely both
benefit from that one.
You have to forgive yourself when the things went wrong. It's very hard to train. It's very hard to work. It's very hard to conciliate. And it's normal to get to the wrong way.
Yeah, of course. I guess if you did everything you could and you are at the starting line and that's what you're given that day, what else are you going to do, right?
Yeah, it was the best for the day. Yeah, celebrate. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were just mentioning the balancing act a bit between your work and training. You're a lawyer, which is a demanding job next to running, which is also very demanding. So you have those two demanding parts of your life and for sure many other small things. How do you manage to be a lawyer, running, have a social circle?
You have to balance. It's why I run so early in the morning, because if I don't go like 4:35 in the morning, it's impossible to run after the work.
4:35?
Yeah, I wake up every day around 4:30, 4:45. Then 5 in the morning, I'm running.
Inspiring.
It's impossible to train after work. I've tried, but it's impossible. My mind is full of problems from the work. So I prefer to start the day doing my running sessions to clear my mind.
I guess if you're not running, something is missing.
It's different. I think I can solve the problems of my work, perform much better when I run before in the morning. It's like impossible to work without running before. As I said before, it's like a therapy for me.
Moving on to advice. You're a very experienced runner. Now you're at the top of the sport, I would say, in terms of amateur, of course, but a very fast runner. Are there things that you wish you had known before you started marathon running? If you could go back and speak to Pedro in 2011, what would you tell him?
Just one thing. Don't compare yourself. It's the big mistake, because you are always looking for the guy from the Instagram, the guy that ran for 10 years and try to perform like this kind of person. Focus on your own journey. Build a huge background, not just on running, but on your life, with a partner, your work, with your family. Try to build a big background far from the running. The basis for your life, like family, work. You have to be happy with your life to try to perform.
I hear that from a lot of people that you shouldn't identify yourself only through your sport. So to have this, you know, these other things in life, like you said, like your support system around you.
You have to be very resilient when you want to perform. It's impossible to reach your goals every time. So you have to be resilient. And how you get resilient? With a huge background for me. I have a great family, a great partner, a great work, great friends. And I never compared myself to everyone. I always try to make my own journey. I think it's the secret, not only for sport, for the life.
Sport is often the best metaphor for life, I think.
True.
Yeah, very yeah. True. And also the marathon. Everything can happen during a marathon. endurance sports for me is the best metaphor of life.
Is your partner also into endurance sports?
Yeah, she's a triathlete. She's also going to her first Ironman, the full Ironman.
Amazing. Which
in
one?
May in Brazil. Florianópolis.
Florianópolis.
That's so cool.
Yeah. She is also a runner. She made 6 marathons. She loves endurance sports as well.
For us, it's kind of important too that the partner understands the passion and the training. I'm sure for you and your partner it's the same.
It's very important because I have to sleep early, wake up early every morning to conciliate my work with the sport, the training. She have the same problem. So for us, it's not a problem. It's our life. And when it's your life, it's very easy to keep going with this.
I find that it is an essential part. I think if you are not next to somebody every day who is supporting you with this lifestyle, it's so hard to do because there's already so many things outside of your control that are not very encouraging for you to do endurance sports, right? Just the fact that everything is in the evenings and involves drinking and work sometimes doesn't have an end on your day. Like everything will tell you to not do it, that it's hard to do. And if the person next to you is also putting pressure on you and saying, hey, can you come home? Or hey, can you not train tomorrow? Or hey, why are you working out so hard? That's unbearable, I would say.
So. Yeah. It's also inspiring when I see how hard she's training. It's also inspiring for me, even in another sport. So it's really good to have this kind of people around.
I definitely get inspired by Bruna a lot. And I mean, she also inspired me to get into endurance sport more seriously. So it's nice to have this inspiration and give it back to your partner. Do you have some tips for people that listen and they are not runners, but they want to do a marathon and go on this journey? Do you have some tips to get into running? It's a hard barrier to entry the sport for some. So do you have some tips for beginners?
Just start running. Don't try to run your maximum effort at the beginning because your body is not used to this kind of activity. So you have to be patient, try to run and walk, maybe call some friends to do the same with you because I think the environment for me, it's very important. So my tip is not to start running alone. When you have friends at the same stage trying to start running, it's fun to run together. It's not like a sport. It's like activity together. It's much better to do. Here in Brazil, we have a lot of running clubs, and every day I can see a lot of friends starting together. It's really cool because no one can run a long distance, high speeds, but they are having a lot of fun together. And I think you have to enjoy what you are doing. So when you start running with a lot of fun involved, it's much better.
Yeah, you don't have to do it alone, right? Community is so important. Find a friend that might be interested. Get each other to go on a run, and from there things will get easier.
Things get better together, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure also you inspired a lot of people to start running, I assume.
I'm one.
Yeah. 10 years ago we used to play tennis together here in Belo Horizonte. And one day Bruna wants to run together. And then she started. It was like she was born to run.
Amazing.
But she didn't know. And then she started this journey, and now she's a marathon runner, a reference. So I'm really glad to see.
It's funny how it works.
What did you do?
You inspired her, she inspired me, you know, and that's like how it spreads.
Yeah. It's the butterfly effect, I guess, or however you call it. I remember the first day that I ever did a long run. We went together to go with the Pampulha, which is like this lake in our hometown. I had the best time. I have the best memories from starting out. And now that I think of it, this was key for me. Like having you there to do the runs with me made it so much easier. Yeah. And I could learn from you. I never had to struggle to figure out how to get into running by myself. So I think your tip makes so much sense.
Now we talked about a beginner wanting to get into running. What advice would you have for somebody who is already quite advanced? Let's say somebody who wants to achieve making it into Boston, but it's a hard goal. and the person is not really improving, what advice do you have to really level up the performance of somebody?
I think you have to look for the mistakes you are doing at the marathon training. Maybe skipping the threshold training, the interval training, because easy runs, it's like very easy to everyone can do. But when you go to threshold and interval sessions, you have to be very alert to the pace, to the distance you are doing, because if the balance is not right, you can get injured, you can get overtrained.
Do you think having a coach is essential, or do you know a lot of runners who are also running at the same high level that you are that don't have a coach and train on their own?
I think when you have a coach, you can achieve your goals maybe faster because you follow a method, someone is looking for you, and you know it's the right pace, the right distance, the right volume, so you can avoid mistakes.
Now I have a coach, actually. She's the 10K British record holder. She's very, very fast, oh. Elish McCogan. I started working with her end of the year, but I've trained myself for a really long time. I think the biggest change for me is when I've trained myself, I think I had the bias for workouts that I've been more used to or that I've done often. And when you have a coach, then, well, suddenly you have way more diversity and you do not bias yourself for the workouts that you enjoy the most or that you feel more comfortable with doing. So I think it has really helped me to see that and improve my training.
I also work with a coach, and I think especially for triathlon and Ironman distance, for me it's an unknown. It's so many puzzle pieces you have to put together, also nutrition-wise in training and when to do which session. So I'm happy I don't have to do that next to my job.
With a coach, you are always away from your comfort zone, I think, because they are always changing the kind of training. It works for me a lot. I think it's necessary if you want to improve yourself, to perform.
Being green, and now talking about future, what's the next race on your calendar and what's your next goal?
My next race is Porto Alegre again in June.
You like that one.
I want to. Yeah, because it's like our Berlin in Brazil. It's a flat course with a good weather. So if you want to make your personal best, the best race here in Brazil, I pretend to break my personal best here by 1 minute, maybe 2 hours, 43. And my goal for this year is Valencia in the end of the year, in December. I want to run below 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Wow.
Let's see if I can do it.
What pace is that? What's the average pace?
It's 3 minutes and 47 seconds average pace.
That's my interval speed.
Not comparing. Yeah,
it's hard. Yeah, it's hard, but I want to try to break 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Yeah. Do you also plan on maybe doing all the majors? Is that something on your list as well?
Maybe I'll do all the majors like a consequence, but not my main goal. I like to try different marathons. I run like a Riga marathon in Latvia, a Stockholm marathon.
Have you ever considered doing other endurance sports, maybe trail running or...
Yeah, until 2013, 2015, I used to run ultra marathons, like 84K, but just for fun.
I
didn't want to win the race, to make in a certain pace, just to compete. Yeah, I love endurance sports.
So we have some fire questions.
You can't think for too long. Just pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So running in the morning or evening?
Morning.
Long run or speed work?
Long run.
Run on empty stomach or after breakfast?
After breakfast.
Run with music or without?
Without music.
Favorite race?
Boston.
Favorite training shoes?
Adidas Boston.
And favorite racing shoes?
Nike Alpha Flight 2.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It was so fun to catch up and talk about your story. Yeah. You've always been an inspiration to me, and it's so cool to see what you've done over the years. And I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It was super nice to get into the details of you as a person and what motivates you. It's, like Bruna said, very inspiring for both of us.
And you both inspire me as well. See you training this hard, trying to reach your best. It's also inspiring for everyone. So thank you for the invite again. And I hope to come here again and talk more about running, endurance sports, and anything you want.
Thank you so much for tuning into Human Endurance. We hope you have enjoyed this episode and felt inspired by Pedro's story. If you like the show, don't forget to rate it and hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening to it. This helps us to reach a bigger audience and get other humans to hear the inspiring stories we have to share. In fact, if you know of someone who would also enjoy listening to Pedro's story, go ahead and share this episode with them. Thank you and see you next time.